على حب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon His pure and beloved Messenger, the peak of His creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bestower of provisions. He's the Lord of power, the strong. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Illuminate your hearts and minds with a second salawat. One of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq. This name in Arabic comes in the form of Sighatul Mubalagha. It's a type of form that is used to convey the meaning of something that is abundant, something that is excessive. For example, if you want to describe someone as having knowledge, in Arabic you would say alim. This person has knowledge. But if you would like to convey the meaning that this person has a lot of knowledge, his knowledge is excessive, he's abundant in knowledge, you would say allam. That is the difference between alim and allam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing His attribute of giving sustenance to people, Allah in this beautiful verse in Surah Al-Dhariyat states, He is the Razzaq, the one who grants you your sustenance, the one who gives you rizq excessively, abundantly. This is one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when you examine our lives as human beings, the issue of sustenance and rizq is extremely important. Our life revolves around sustenance and rizq. Many people work tirelessly, day and night, to achieve that sustenance. For us believers, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always increase our sustenance. But the problem is, many of us do not understand the reality of what sustenance is. What does sustenance mean? The religion of Islam has given us many guidelines when it comes to achieving sustenance. One dilemma that we face in our modern times is that we see so many people in our society, they are not abiding by these guidelines, yet they're super rich, they have all this sustenance from God, and they're not following many of these guidelines that Islam gives us to achieve sustenance. And this presents a dilemma for us. Now the problem here is that many of us do not understand well what rizq means in Islam. For many of us, sustenance is an amount of money. It's about quantity. How much do you have? What is your material wealth? This is how we gauge sustenance. Oftentimes, when we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, increase my rizq, or there are certain a'mal, certain deeds that you do for your sustenance to be increased. Many of us do them, right? When you do them, what do you have in mind? When you say, oh Allah, increase my sustenance and rizq, what do you have in mind? You have money in mind. You have material wealth in mind. In other words, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me more money. This is our definition of rizq. This is our definition of sustenance. The religion of Islam gives us another definition for sustenance. In the religion of Islam, sustenance is not an amount of money that you have. You can have all the money in the world, but you could still have problems. That money may not be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rizq in the religion of Islam is about the quality of life, not about a quantity that you own. What's the quality of your life? All this money that you have, is it giving you a quality life? Are you at peace with your inner self? Do you have that tranquility in your heart? Are you at peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you using your wealth to prepare for the hereafter? This is rizq. Rizq is that money, is that sustenance, is that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gives you inner peace in this life, which allows you to achieve spirituality, which prepares you well for the hereafter. This is sustenance. That is why you'll find in our literature of ahadith, money that is made from an unlawful source, from a haram source, is not called rizq in Islam. If someone, for example, steals the money that they get from robbery, do you call that rizq? Islam does not consider that rizq. It's money, but that's not rizq. Another example, if someone makes a fortune out of selling alcohol, Islam does not consider this sustenance. If you make money by defrauding other people, or you make money by charging usury or interest, Islam does not consider this rizq. Because yes, it is an amount of money, but it is not blessed. This will not help you in this life the way you desire, and certainly it will be a burden on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable. So this is not the definition of sustenance. Sustenance is that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which grants you that inner peace and allows you to live a tranquil life. A life that prepares you for the hereafter. This is the meaning of rizq. And this is how we understand all these Islamic guidelines when it comes to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sustenance. Let us take one modern example today from our society to understand how sustenance does not mean money. Money cannot give you that inner peace in your life. Let's take music and singers as a case study, as an example. Now, why do I mention this example? Because we have a hadith from Al-Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi alayhi. In this hadith, the Imam alayhi salam states, وَكَثْرَةُ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ إِلَى الْغِنَاءِ يُورِثُ الْفَقْرِ. The Imam alayhi salam says, prolonged exposure to music, to singing, will lead to poverty. Now many of us today are looking at a hadith like this, and we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Singing leads to poverty? How is that the case? When we look in our modern society, we see singers are one of the richest people. They're certainly not poor people. Their profession as singers, as musicians, is not impoverishing them, is it? They're multimillionaires. So how can we understand a hadith like that coming from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, in which he says prolonged exposure to music will lead to poverty. It will not lead you to richness. Is this something that our society confirms or rejects? And this is just one minor example. We have many, many other examples when it comes to richness and poverty. What is richness and what is poverty? So let's take musicians and singers as an example here. From the outside, their life looks glamorous. They have all that fame, all that money. They have global audiences pouring out their emotions and their love for them, right? And that's what people want. That's what anyone wants in society, to be rich and to be famous and to get all the spotlight and attention around the world. From the outside, it looks beautiful, looks wonderful, especially from a materialistic perspective. But once you dig deeper in their lives, you see a completely different life. And this is something that often our society does not tell us about. The image that they sell us is a different image. But when you dig deeper into their lives, you see a completely different picture. Musicians and singers have one of the highest rates of depression and anxiety amongst all people in society. One study performed in the UK revealed that 71% of musicians experience severe depression and anxiety. Now compare that to the average population. In the UK, it's 19%. 19% of British citizens struggle from depression and from anxiety. But those in the music industry, they are more than three times likely to suffer from these consequences. So yes, they do have all that money, but is that money helping them? Is that money giving them that tranquility and inner peace? And when you look at other statistics, for example, when it comes to singers, when it comes to songwriters, anyone involved literally in the music industry is suffering. If you go to, for example, those meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, you know the highest profession that you'll find in those meetings are who? People from the arts, from the creative arts, songwriters, musicians, singers. This is a reality that we are seeing in our society. Now, by the way, when I use them as an example, I'm not judging them. We're not here to judge anyone and say, oh, musicians are bad people. That's not the point. The point is to understand the system of sustenance in the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam has a system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us what leads to richness and what leads to poverty. And these are vivid examples in our society. Another problem that plagues many musicians and singers is what? Suicide. Go on Wikipedia, there's a page on singers who have committed suicide. There's a page of 122 famous and well-known singers who have committed suicide. That's really alarming. In 1974, Nick Drake, for example, died of an overdose at the age of 26. In 2003, Elliot Smith died by committing suicide from an overdose. Just recently, 3 days ago, you had Mac Miller who died. Many of you have heard it, right? What was the reason? Now they're suspecting because he used to struggle from substance abuse, he probably died because of overdosing. Just 3 weeks ago, you had, for example, Jill Janis, who died by committing suicide. And the list goes on and on and on. By the way, I'm not familiar with all these singers, if you're just wondering. That's why I have their names written on a list here, so I can remember them. But this is what's happening in our society. Society does not really tell us about this aspect. We only see the glamour, the fame, the reputation in Hollywood, right? But dig deep into their lives and you see all these problems. And subhanAllah, look at the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. كَثْرَةُ الْإِسْتِمَاعِ إِلَى الْغِنَاءِ يُورِثُ الْفَقْرِ. It brings poverty to your life. Poverty doesn't necessarily mean financial poverty. It means that wealth that you gain, you will not enjoy it. It will not give you a tranquil life. And this is the message that we take, my dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to understanding what sustenance is in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be concerned with the outside. I know a lot of people, especially teenagers in our society, they're obsessed with celebrities. People like to be stars. They like to be celebrities. Why? Because stars are loved around the world. There is an outpouring of support for celebrities, and people are looking for that. But the religion of Islam teaches us that if you want to find true love, you want to find support, you want to become a star, you can be a star by starting in your own house. You can be a star in your own house. If you earn the respect of your parents and the love of your parents, you're a star in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you earn the respect and love of your spouse, your friends, your children, you are a star in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a relationship with the Almighty God, you're a star. In fact, we have a beautiful hadith that mentions the name of stars. The believers who worship God in their homes. One hadith states, when a believer stands at night and recites the Quran. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in Khutbat al-Muttaqeen, in the Sermon of the Pious, he describes them. One of the descriptions that he shares with us, he says, at night, when people are asleep, they stand on their two feet, remembering the Day of Judgment, and they recite the Holy Quran with a sorrowful, sad voice, to bring themselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith states, when you recite the Quran in your house, you illuminate to the inhabitants of the skies, who are the angels, just like the stars illuminate to us. When you look at the side of the stars, that's how the angels see you. There is this light shining from your house, and they pray for you. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. Because part of rizq, which many of us may not be aware of, is to be protected by God. You may have all the wealth in the world, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not protect you, in many ways, from family problems, from health issues, that wealth will not benefit you. Whenever you think of rizq and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your sustenance, always keep this in mind. You're asking Allah to protect you as well. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you great well-being. Now, speaking of danger and protection, my dear brothers and sisters, some of you have heard, there is a very powerful hurricane that is now approaching the U.S. East Coast, Hurricane Florence. It's a Category 4 hurricane. It's packing, you know, winds over 120 miles an hour. And subhanAllah, whenever I see these events, it reminds us how weak we are and how strong Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know, several decades ago, the United States tried to experiment with hurricanes to see if they can stop a hurricane. So one of the ideas was to nuke the center of the hurricane. You know that eye of the hurricane, the strongest part of the hurricane. If you nuke it, if you explode it with a nuclear weapon, it could disrupt its circulation and it could stop it. They realized that you need 70 nuclear bombs just to touch that hurricane. Not to stop it, just to touch it a little bit. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do pray for their safety and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them. Being protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of rizq. So when it comes to rizq, we have to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, that it's that tranquil, peaceful life that will truly allow you to function properly, psychologically, spiritually, in this world. Don't look at the outside of what the media wants you to see. The lives that they're selling us are superficial lives. They are not real lives. I want to share with you a brief story that is very inspiring and interesting. There was a French rapper and singer by the name of Diams. Some of you may have heard of her. Back in 2006, she was so popular in France with her albums and songs, She actually ranked the highest in France that year. She sold the most number of albums and songs in 2006. Now, she had all that fame, all that reputation, all that money. People would give anything to hang around her, to go to her concerts. But after a while, she felt that this life is not fulfilling. There's something missing. There's this gap. There's this void. And she slipped into depression and anxiety. Nothing could satisfy her. She had all that money, but she just did not find this money helping her. Her friends could no longer help her. No one could help her. So for a while, she isolated herself from the music industry. She somewhat became lonely. Until one day, she had a Moroccan friend by the name of Susu. She was Muslim. One day, she goes to visit her at her apartment. When she goes to visit her, her Muslim friend stands up to pray. Now, for this French rapper, this is the first time that she sees someone actually praying in front of her. So it caught her attention. When she saw her praying, she fell into sujood, into prostration. That scene in itself of seeing someone submit to something puzzled her. When her friend finished her prayer, she asked her, "Can you tell me what exactly were you doing?" She said, "I was praying." This is Salat in Islam. She asked her, "Praying to who?" "To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To my Creator, thanking my Creator." She asked her friend, "I'm not Muslim, can I do what you did? Can I also fall into sujood and pray to God?" She said, "Yes, of course. Any human being can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to be Muslim to worship God." This French rapper says, look at the interviews that later they did with her. She explains her story. She says, "When I fell into prostration for the first time in my life, I felt something which I've never had. Not my fame, not my money, not the music industry could give to me. I felt this tranquility and peace that the Almighty God gave to me just by prostrating to Him." After that, she embraced the religion of Islam. She became Muslim and she started wearing the hijab. But you know what happened after that? You know, French society is secular, right? They're crazy when it comes to some religious symbols. After that, the French media started attacking her, destroying her reputation. Oh, she's gone mad. She's become a radical. She's become extreme. So one day, this French interviewer conducted an interview with her. He asked her, "How do you feel about this? You lost that status. People are calling you crazy. The media is destroying your reputation. What would you comment on that?" You know what she said? Watch the interview. She said, "Now I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't care. Let them take away anything from me. Let them say what they want. Now I have this inner strength which comes from my Creator. Nothing in the world can take that from me." This is part of sustenance, my respected brothers and sisters. And it's very important for us to understand that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our sustenance. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now, there are a number of points that shed light on the system of sustenance in the religion of Islam. Being familiar with these points helps us understand how we can seek rizq and sustenance that is blessed in our lives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the religion of Islam places huge emphasis on working. Now you're wondering, how do I achieve that sustenance, right? Part of it comes through working. The religion of Islam, as an obligation, commands us to work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that a lot of your sustenance, which I have determined for you and assigned for you, comes in the form of work. You absolutely have to work. There is a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in which he states, "Sallu alayhi ba'ala aswatukum." He states, "Al-ibadatu sab'una juz'an." Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship has 70 parts. What is the best part? Is it praying? Is it going to Hajj? What's the best part? The hadith states the best part is seeking halal sustenance, is working. To work is extremely important in the religion of Islam. There is a tradition that is mentioned in many books that once the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he entered the mosque and he saw one of his companions praying day and night. He had no work, just praying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi asked him, how do you live? Who spends on you? He said, my brother, he works and he spends on me. You know what the Prophet told him according to this hadith? He told him, your brother is a greater worshipper than you. Because he's acting responsibly and he's seeking a halal source and he's spending it on you. In the eyes of God, he is a greater worshipper than you. There is no doubt that the religion of Islam places huge emphasis on working. But that's only one factor to achieving sustenance from God. There are several other factors. So the first point to understand about the system of God when it comes to sustenance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that beneficial sustenance for you. What's beneficial for you, what you really need in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed it for you. That's why the hadith says, don't worry so much and don't stress yourself so much when it comes to providing for a living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed it for you. In one hadith, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam quotes Luqman, the wise man. The Imam says, one of the words, beautiful words that Luqman said to his son, he tells him, my dear son, I want to tell you something about sustenance, the system of God when it comes to rizq. In three stages of your life, you were absolutely helpless, yet God delivered to you your sustenance. The first one is when you were a fetus in the womb of your mother. Did you work for that sustenance? Did you do anything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered it to you without any hassle, without any problems for you, right? The second is when your mother gave birth to you and she would nurse you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered that sustenance to you. And when you grew older, you became a toddler, a child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you parents or family members who would spend on you. Now that you become an adult and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the intellect, you start doubting the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that you become an adult and you see the wonders of God, you start doubting His generosity. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of you when you were helpless, absolutely helpless in those three stages, you think now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave you? No believer will think of that. And these beautiful words of Luqman should always be kept alive in our lives. So realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of me. Don't stress yourself so much. A lot of the stress that we have today in our society is because of the issue of sustenance. Our job, our employment, our work, especially if there's an economic problem somewhere in the world. You see everyone losing hope and people are stressing so much. The Imam alayhi salam says, don't stress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed the rizq for you. And realize that since Allah has guaranteed the sustenance for you, don't try to outsmart the system. Because if you try to act smart with the system, you want to defraud other people, that will not increase your sustenance. You'll be gaining money for sure, but that money will not help you. This is one fundamental point that we take from the religion of Islam when it comes to sustenance. The second point, which is closely tied to this point, the religion of Islam teaches us work and earn as much as you like, but also give yourself some time to rest. Do not work excessively. The religion of Islam discourages us from working excessively. Because most people who are working themselves to death, they end up not benefiting from a lot of the money that they earn. You know, a lot of people, what they do in their lives, they spend a lifetime just accumulating wealth. Just making that figure bigger and bigger and bigger. And then what happens? SubhanAllah, we see this every day in society. What happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them, they depart this world, and all that wealth goes to who? The inheritors. I've known fathers who would sacrifice from their sleep, from their health, from their well-being to make more money. They die, some of their children, some of their sons come and take that money, and they go waste it in one night by gambling with it. I've seen that. Did this money help this person? It became a burden on him. He worked himself to death, and this was the outcome. The religion of Islam says, be moderate. Don't let your work distract you from your obligations. If your work is keeping you away from your spouse and children and parents, realize there's a big problem. Work, but not to that extent. And if you think you really need that money, just look at the statistics that reveal how much we waste in society. You know, America is the richest nation on earth, but it is the most wasteful nation on earth too. Americans every single year waste $180 billion worth of food. $180 billion. You know how many poor people you could feed with that money? You could wipe out global starvation with all that money. We waste so much just on food. 40%, my dear brothers and sisters, 40% of all the food that we buy ends up in the trash bin. We're talking about fresh food. I'm not talking about rotten food. No, fresh, perfectly edible food. Now, an average person in the United States spends $2,600 on food. So if you have a household of four people, how much is that? Just a little bit over $10,000, right? The average American household of four people spends about $10,000 on food. And what percentage of that food is being wasted? 40%. So how much are we wasting? Every household is wasting $4,000. You worked hour by hour to make that money, and then you throw it in the trash. Is this sustenance? Is this rizq? Does this bring blessings in your life? You could have done so many other things with all those hours. A lot of the money that we earn and generate is wasted. This is just one small example. Look at what this society spends on the entertainment industry. $700 billion a year. These are mind-boggling figures. So this is important to keep in mind when we try to understand the philosophy of sustenance in the religion of Islam. Now, for the believers, my dear brothers and sisters, we have narrations that tell us sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delay your sustenance for a reason. Why? So you would stay close to Allah and you would constantly supplicate and pray to Him to give you the sustenance. Because Allah knows for many people, the minute He gives them their sustenance, what happens? They turn their back. They forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forget the very source that gave them their provisions and rizq and sustenance. This happens. Actually, a verse in the Holy Quran was revealed about one of the companions of the Prophet. Tha'laba was a companion of the Prophet. He was poor. He was not starving, but he was poor. But he would come to the mosque. He would meet fellow believers. He would meet the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. He was responsible with his obligations. One day, Tha'laba comes to the Prophet. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, doesn't Allah answer your prayer? You're His Prophet. He definitely answers your prayer. I want a dua from you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me rich. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi tried to talk him out of it. He told him, you know, that's not really good for you. You're coming now to the mosque. We're seeing you. And alhamdulillah, You're not rich, but you're not starving. You're okay. Why don't you just stay this way? He says, no, I insist that you pray. Well, once he put a lot of pressure on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased his wealth. He had some sheep, you know, in a farmland that he would care for. His wealth started growing and those sheep would multiply. Now every day he would come to the mosque. Every day he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once his wealth started building, what happened? Every other day now, Tha'lab is coming and seeing the Prophet. Then when his wealth became even more, once a week he would show up. Then once a month, then he stopped coming completely. The Prophet sent after him, Thalaba, what happened with you? You promised me that if you become rich, you would give to the poor, you would be charitable, you would be generous. Now we don't even see you, you don't come around. You know what he said to the messenger whom the Prophet ﷺ had dispatched to him? He told him, look, this is harassment. What does the Prophet want from us? What's this tax that he's unjustly wanting to take from us? Am I a non-Muslim for him to treat me like that and impose a tax on me? Subhanallah. Now he started objecting to the very messenger of God. This is what happens. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might delay the sustenance for you. That job interview which you were so excited about and you really wanted from Allah. Allah could postpone it a little bit. Because there's a reason. Allah is protecting you from something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping you close to Him. Be appreciative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His system. And be satisfied with what He's given you, even if it's not so much. Because there's a beautiful hadith that states, when you look at the rizq, the sustenance of Allah that He has given you, if it's little, if it's not that much, Allah says, look at the gifter, the one who's given you that gift. Don't look at the amount. That which you have in your hands is from who? Let me give you an example. If today, an Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. If he sends you a single dollar, would you be happy? Would you or no? Why? It's a dollar. What can you really buy with it? Why would you be happy? All of you would be happy. Everyone who loves the Imam, you'll be ecstatic. You'll be excited to get a dollar from your Imam. Why? Because you're considering the person who gifted it to you. This is a gift from my Imam. It's blessed. Even if it's a dollar, I'll take it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us everything I've given you, even if it's little in your eyes, it's from me. It's from your Lord, it's from Allah, it's from the King of the universe. Be proud of it. Be appreciative of it. Don't say it's little. Look at the gifter, the one who's given you that gift. Be concerned about the gifter, not the gift itself. And this is how believers treat sustenance. And this is how they view sustenance in their lives. So this is very important when it comes to understanding the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the religion of Islam has given us some guidelines on how to increase our sustenance. I would like to briefly share some of those with you, my dear brothers and sisters. How can we have our sustenance increase? Remember, part of sustenance comes from work, not all of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unseen factors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when determining what sustenance you will get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain factors. Being aware of these factors allows us to live blessed lives, my dear brothers and sisters. So the first of those factors that we have the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, speak about, we have a hadith from the Imam alayhi salam in which he states, "Husnul khulq yazidu fil rizq." You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your sustenance? Improve your attitude. How is your attitude? At home with your friends? Yes, maybe in front of others in society, in a public setting, we're all angels, alhamdulillah. But in our homes, how are we? The hadith states, the better your attitude is, the better your akhlaq is, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your rizq. This is an unseen factor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed. The second one, we have a beautiful hadith from Al-Imam Al-Baqir salawatullahi alayhi. The Imam alayhi salam in this hadith states, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالدُّعَاءِ لِإِخْوَانِكَ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ فَإِنَّهُ يُهِيلُ الرِّزْقِ. The Imam says, you want a recipe that will have the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured down on you? Pray for your brothers and sisters secretly, privately, without even telling them. Go and pray for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that He will increase your sustenance and rizq. This is the second one. The third one is sadaqah, paying charity. Al-Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam states, استنزلوا الرزق بالصدقة. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring down the sustenance on you? Be charitable. Give charity. The more you give, the more Allah has promised that the quality your money can buy will be better. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, what's beautiful about America is that it is a charitable nation. Yes, we have all these problems in society, true. The list of problems goes on and on. It's a materialistic society. It's a society that's driven by consumerism, right? All these corporations and ads are telling us to buy and buy and buy. And that's why we have malls, right? In the past, our parents and grandparents, they would only go to shops if they needed something, right? If you didn't need anything, you wouldn't just go to a supermarket or a store. These days, what has our society done? We've made shopping a recreational activity, right? Just go to the mall. You don't really need anything. Do you need anything? No, let's just go. Let's have a good time. And then when you go there, this is how our brain functions, right? You see all these things around you and you just want to buy them. That's how they squeeze you into buying. And believe me, 80% of the things we buy, we don't need. One day, and I challenge you, one day go to your room and declutter it, right? See what you've got under the bed accumulating all those years, in your closet, in your drawers, and you'll see how much you've wasted. Believe me, sometimes some gadgets we buy, we use them once or twice. And then that's it. But that's how our society is based. With all that, we're still a prosperous nation. You know why? Because Americans, despite all these issues with materialism, they are charitable people. And one of the factors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned in increasing sustenance is to give charity. Every year, Americans give $380 billion in charity. And that's truly fantastic. That's commendable. And this is why there is a lot of barakah. When people give charity, regardless of their faith, regardless of their religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does bless them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does bless them. You know, sometimes we see these big philanthropists, like Bill Gates for instance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did bless them in this life. Because see, they are very charitable. Now without judging, just compare Bill Gates to Steve Jobs. He was a billionaire too, but he wasn't that charitable. He wasn't. In fact, once I read that Bill Gates called him and he, you know, encouraged him to give to a charity, he refused. I'm not judging who's better or not, but you just see from the outside. Look at the life of the first and the life of the second. They both achieved, but Bill Gates is a charitable man. He's really donated billions of dollars for humanitarian projects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give the blessing. That's number three. Number four, my dear brothers and sisters, establishing ties with our relatives and family. Salatul Rahm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned in His system of sustenance that the better you are with your relatives and family members, the more you keep ties with them, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your sustenance. The fourth one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Nuh, in which He used to teach His people how to receive the sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam used to teach his people, do istighfar at least 70 times a day. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. What happens? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. If you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the blessings from the skies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your children, and He'll increase your wealth. This is in the Holy Quran, my dear brothers and sisters. So this is the fourth factor that will, the fifth factor that will have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us His sustenance. The sixth and last one that I'll share with you, my dear brothers and sisters, and this one's very important. We have many, many narrations that tell us there is a specific type of sustenance, rizq and blessing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated between the two rises, بين الطلوعين, between Fajr, dawn, and sunrise. So let's say from 5 to 6:30 a.m. The hadith states, if you want the full blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember God in this period. In this time, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's an angel. One of the greatest angels of God is actually responsible for sustenance. You know, we have many angels. For example, Jibra'il has many tasks. One of them was to deliver the wahi on prophets. You have Azra'il, for instance, who takes the souls. You have Israfil, who blows into the trumpet. We have Mika'il. Do we know who Mika'il is? Mika'il is mentioned in the Quran. He's one of the greatest angels of God. Mika'il is an angel assigned by God to deliver our rizq and sustenance to us. Through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers the sustenance to us. Now the hadith states that Mika'il brings sustenance, a specific type of sustenance, only between dawn and sunrise. So in that time, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your sustenance. For those who would like for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase their rizq, one thing that is very, very proven to work, after your morning prayer, before you go to work, before you go back to sleep, 360 times say, Ya Razzaq, oh Allah, the one who gives sustenance, give me sustenance. Put your hand on your heart and say 70 times, Ya Fattah, oh the one who opens new paths for me. Let's not underestimate this, my dear brothers and sisters. These are treasures that the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, have shared with us. When you start your morning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a beautiful day. The chances of you oppressing other people, sinning, gossiping, backbiting is much less. Because you remind yourself that I started my day, my morning, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us keep these treasures of Ahlul Bayt in our mind, my dear brothers and sisters. And by far, the greatest type of sustenance Allah can give to anyone is to have faith and iman. One day a man came to Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He was poor. He was struggling from financial obligations. He looked depressed. The Imam alayhi salam told him, what's the matter? What's wrong with you? He said, oh Imam, I'm very poor. I'm struggling. The Imam alayhi salam asked him an interesting question. He told him, oh man, oh my companion, are you willing to sell your faith and religion? Because he was a faithful man. Are you willing to sell it for 100,000 golden coins? Dinars? Are you willing? He said, no, of course not. The Imam alayhi salam told him, how dare you consider yourself poor when you own something 100,000 dinars and you're not willing to sell it? How do you consider yourself poor when you have this richness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The greatest rizq, my dear brothers and sisters, is for you to ask Allah to always keep that faith in your hearts and to give you a blessed progeny. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having good children is a type of rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to people. And this is what we learned from the message of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. That great sustenance is to carry the love of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. in our hearts. We have a beautiful hadith from Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Salawatullahi alayhi, sallu alayhi. The Imam alayhi salam states, one of the greatest types of sustenance is to visit the grave of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's to go for ziyarah. You know, just like Hajj, it's also one of the great types of sustenance. That's why in our supplications, when you ask Allah to take you to Hajj, what word do you use? وَرْزُقْنِي حَجَّ بَيْتِكَ الْحَرَامِ, right? Oh Allah, give me the sustenance, the rizq of going to Hajj. Because that's a beautiful type of rizq. The Imam alayhi salam states, the greatest type of rizq is to visit the Imam alayhi salam. That's why he says, مُرُوا شِيعَتَنَا بِزِيَارَةِ قَبْرِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Tell our followers to always visit the grave of my grandfather Hussein. At least once a year if you can, for this will increase your sustenance and it will open your heart for the path of guidance. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. This great Imam who is truly the ship of salvation. You want that spiritual sustenance, you go to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. You want the financial sustenance, you go to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. In one of the visitations, the ziyaras of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that's how we address him. The Imam says, go to him and tell him, I have come to you in the state of poverty. Enrich me, O Aba Abdullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him that blessing to be that vehicle which delivers the sustenance to us. But my dear brothers and sisters, let's now take our hearts to the state of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam when he left and farewelled the city of Medina. The Imam alayhi salam realized that the governor was after him. Yazid was after him. And they would capture him in Medina, either force him to pledge allegiance or massacre him. The Imam alayhi salam knew it was now his obligation to leave the city of Medina, to go to Mecca and then from there go to Iraq. This was the last night that Imam al-Hussein spent in the city of Medina. This is the city of his grandfather. He had memories here. The Imam alayhi salam remembers his honorable days with his grandfather. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It was a very painful moment. The Imam alayhi salam goes next to the grave of the prophets in the mosque of the prophets. He prays two rak'ahs. And then he supplicates. Then the Imam alayhi salam, by the grave of the Prophet, he takes a short nap. He falls asleep. In his dream, he sees his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What does the Messenger of God tell him? Habibi Hussein, my beloved Hussein, it's as if I can see you very soon stained in your blood on the plains of the ground, on the dirt, in a land called Karbin Wabala, the land of trials and tribulations. وَأَنْتَ مَعَ ذَٰلِكَ عَطْشَانٌ لَا تُرْوَى. And O Aba Abdullah, my dear grandson, you shall die in the state of thirst. They'll kill you thirsty. The Imam alayhi salam, he breaks into tears. He embraces the Messenger of God. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, just take me now. I don't want to go back to this world. The Prophet tells him, Oh Hussein, there's a special status for you that Allah has kept in paradise. You can achieve it through martyrdom. The Imam alayhi salam said, I accept. I accept. Yes, I will go and meet my destiny with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he embraced the grave of the Prophet. This was the final farewell. The Arab poet, he captures these moments. He says, ضمني عندك يا جداه في هذا الضريح علني يا جد من بلوى زماني أستريح. My dear grandfather, embrace me. Let me stay with you in your tomb. So maybe I will be relieved from the difficulties of my time. جد صفو العيش من بعدك بالأكدار شيب وأشاب الهم رأسي قبل إبان المشيب. My grandfather, life after you is dark. I can't live after you. See what the world has done to me. My hair has become white due to these tragedies. فعلى من داخل القبر بكاء ونحيب ونداء بافتجاع يا حبيبي يا حسين. Yes, this is how the Imam عليه السلام left the city of Medina. On a night like this, this is the night of the 2nd of Muharram. On the 2nd day of Muharram, the Imam alayhi salam, along with the women and the children, with his caravan, they arrive in a land, in a piece of land. The Imam alayhi salam realizes there's something about this land. His horse would not go any further. The Imam alayhi salam would try, but the horse refused. The Imam alayhi salam asked his companions, أصحابي ما اسم هذه الأرض. My dear companions, what is the name of this land? One of them, one of his companions said, this is called Nainawa. The Imam alayhi salam was looking for a different name. The Imam said, is there another name for this land? Another person said, yes, O Aba Abdullah, this is called Al-Ghadriyat. The Imam alayhi salam was looking for another name that he had heard from his grandfather. Until one of his companions said, O Aba Abdullah, yes, there is another name for this land. It is called Karbala. The Imam alayhi salam, as soon as he heard the word Karbala, his heart became heavy. And he says, Ilahi, inni a'udhu bika min al-karbi wal-bala. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from trials and tribulations. Then the Imam alayhi salam gathered his companions, the women and the children. He issued a statement. He told them, my dear companions, Ashabi ha huna mahattu rihalina. My dear companions, this is where we shall settle. Why? What's going to happen here? Ashabi ha huna tuqtalu rijaluna. Ha huna ya tuzbahu atfaluna. Ha huna tusba nisauna. My dear companions, this is where our men shall be killed. This is where we have to camp. This is where our children shall be massacred. This is where our women shall be taken as prisoners of war. Then the Imam alayhi salam took Lady Zainab. He took her to one area. He told her, Zainab, you have to be patient. You see this place? This is where my son Ali in al-Akbar shall be massacred and martyred. Then the Imam alayhi salam took her towards the river of Furat. And he told her, oh Zainab, this is where Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas shall be martyred. Then the Imam alayhi salam took her to a low-lying piece of land. Oh Zainab, and this is where your brother Hussein shall be martyred. This was the state of Zainab. This is how she entered Karbala. In dignity, in honor, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was there to protect her. Fast forward to the 11th day of Muharram, when the enemies told the women and children, now you have to move. We have to leave and depart to Kufa. Lady Zainab alayhi salam, she helped the women and children to mount on those camels and horses. Then she was the last one left. How is she going to help herself? She looked to the right, she looked to the left. They asked her, Zainab, what are you looking for? She said, I am looking for Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He is the one who brought me here to Karbala in honor and dignity, and now this is my state. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين.
ارفعوا أيديكم بالدعاء. Raise your hands in dua. This is the moment in which Allah has promised to answer our prayers. Everyone together, let's recite this holy verse 5 times so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our prayers. There are many who need our dua. Many people, they're suffering, they are going through illnesses, they have problems. This is the moment of dua. Everyone together, raise your hands. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amman yujibu al-mudtarra idha da'a wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أمن نسألك اللهم باسمك الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه اللهم اشفي كل مريض اللهم فرج عن كل مهموم ومكروب اللهم سد فقرنا بغناك غير سوء حالنا بحسن حالك اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات نهدي ثواب سورة الفاتحة مسبوقة بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.